Welcome back into Sports Talk on our Treasure Chest Thursday here at the Game Bar and Grill inside the casino out in Kenner. Stop by, say hey, and get ready for Thursday Night Football, a big one tonight for the Saints Nation to be interested in. Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Atlanta Falcons dueling in an NFC South matchup. The Saints just played the Falcons, unfortunately lost to them, and after this game Monday night in Kansas City, boom, they're going to be hosting the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in a matchup. Unfortunately, a short week for the Saints, and it'll be an extended break for the Buccaneers going into that matchup.
Yeah, no question about it. And, man, it looks as though all them injuries for the Saints then wheeled over to the Pelicans.
Yeah, seeing that too, right, like you mentioned.
Pelicans announced today that Trey Murphy has been diagnosed with a right hamstring strain, is what they're saying. He'll be reexamined in 3 weeks.
That's going to be, what, probably right at the end of the preseason, getting ready for the regular season, I think, is October 23rd, if I'm correct.
Yeah, it happened during yesterday's practice, so we'll see what happens with Trey Murphy. They're counting on him, though.
Yeah, get well, counting Trey, for sure. Those soft tissue injuries, man, they're a pain in the you-know-what.
Man, I hear about that more than I've ever heard in my life.
Right.
Hamstring and, you know, the knee issue, soft tissue there, if it's one thing or another. But yeah, it is part of the vernacular today. Sports-wise, medical-wise, you got to be a part-time doctor, so to speak, to go through all of it. But at least 3 weeks out for Trey Murphy.
Looking at Thursday Night Football tonight, we mentioned, obviously, Tampa Bay in Atlanta for a matchup. 3-1 Bucks taking on the 2-2 Falcons. Head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Raheem Morris, talked about this matchup against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and really got into, the matchup and facing off against a guy like Kirk Cousins. And Kirk's kind of get this Falcons offense flowing. And here's what he had to say about, you know, getting things acclimated in the ATL as they get ready for this matchup.
I think now, 4 games in, you do have a sample size to work off of. I think we've ascended each week. We have improved, which is encouraging. But I think there's more to go get. And that's why I think there is a lot of excitement about Thursday night, because we see it as another opportunity to kind of continue to improve.
Yeah, what's interesting with Kirk Cousins, has had some decent performances the past 2 games, but you can tell he's still not 100%.
What? He's not going to be 100% all year. He never was a movement guy to begin
sure, right.
with, but now.
Looks even more stiff.
Very much so. He's got to get on the same page with Kyle Pitts. That's been something. I mean, you used an early first-round pick for Kyle. He was a dominant player at the collegiate level at tight end. He was a big wide receiver playing tight end. Man, he was beating people left and right. You saw people double-team bracketing him to try to take him out, that he wasn't going to be the guy at the University of Florida. He just has not. One, he's had injuries. And secondly, he's been disappointing beating press man coverage. They get right on top of him and say, okay, if you're going to beat me, do it. And he hasn't been able to. Where he's on the same page, man, you think about it. You know, when they signed him from the Bears, Darnell Mooney from Tulane. Man, it was quick with him.
Been an impact for sure.
He's not the biggest guy in the world. Darnell he's not a big-time 6'1" receiver that's 200-something pounds. But, man, can he get up the field? He's so quick into and out of his cuts and breaks. And he's become a much, I'll use the term, cleaner receiver, catching the ball out front with his hands. I think early on at Tulane, he was a guy that was a bit of a body snatcher. Man, that ball got right there to him before he could catch it. Now he's become a much cleaner receiver catching the football. So, and Drake London, too. You can see that there's some chemistry there between him and Kirk. But, man, the thing with Pitts has got to work for them because a contract's running tick, tick, tick with Kyle. And he's never been able to really piece it together in Atlanta.
Definitely hasn't lived up to, you know, being drafted that high. And, you know, it was being talked about how he was one of these unicorns at the position of tight end.
He's a unicorn
in college.
He was a unicorn athlete. I know that. man, can he run for a big guy? Just has not been able to translate into the pros, and you could say injuries, but there's more to it than that.
Right.
I was
blamed, obviously, in the past offense, also having not a quarterback, so we'll see.
Okay, who are you blaming it on now?
Exactly.
So my thing with him, is this a good fit for him? Because, you know, a lot of times with players, it's not about talent, but how you fit, and does he believe in what they're doing is giving him the best chance to win out on the field? I think Drake London and Darnell Mooney believe it.
Right.
Bijan Robinson, I think if I was an Atlanta fan, I'd want to feed him the ball more running, because it looks as though Atlanta wants to use that little short pass as an extended handoff. I'd want to kind of feed the football more running-wise to Bijan and also Tyler Allgeier. Sort of beat you up a little bit, have you play in. Because if you're going to play too high safety with me, okay, I run the football. One of those safeties got to come up, and then I throw it deep downfield.
Yeah, and you mentioned with Tyler Allgeier just been able to hammer the Saints.
He's a pain in the back.
He's been a good yards after carry guy, too, for this squad. And a nice 1-2 punch they have at the running back position, unfortunately, in the ATL.
Yeah, he's hard to knock off his pegs.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
Because, man, he's a powerful guy in the lower body. And you think, okay, I'm a – hit him high. Well, good luck. You ain't bringing him down. If you hit him high, you better go low and real low and try to trip him up. But almost like when you watch that offense the first 4 weeks, it is really not really gelled. At times you see it, and then other times you don't. Man, take away them two touchdowns the Saints sort of gifted to you. Okay, what they were doing offensively. Tyler,
right.
Tyler won his battles.
Right.
I'll say that, but it didn't look like it really gelled well. And I do know one thing. If I were playing Atlanta, Deuce and I talked about this. Man, I'm blitzing him and putting people up front and trying to get after him. Now, there's the sword there. You live by the sword, you die by it, because he's a veteran quarterback. He might eat you up on the back end, but I'm getting to him. I'm going after him. It'll be interesting to see, does Todd Bowles do that tonight and go after him and try to get him right up the middle, not from off the edge, because if you come off the edge with him, he's going to figure it out, but right up the middle and force the young center who's only started one game to make some adjustments.
Yeah, that's right. They're still dealing with injuries over there, obviously, on their O-line. Baker Mayfield and the Bucks, man, off to a 3-1 start. But he's another veteran guy, been there, done that before, especially even last year with his Bucks squad, and said this team is not getting too high off their early success.
Think back at last year, we were 3-1 at this point, too. Now, I wouldn't say that we operated as clean and we knew our identity, but right now, don't take anything for granted. Just because you start 3-1, it's a long year. Got to continue to improve and just build as the year goes on.
And I give it to Baker, because you could be frustrated of what happened in Cleveland at the end and then what happened in Carolina. Then he gets cut loose. And he, remember they flew him in that Thursday night game with the Rams?
Yeah.
And he was
short
great.
He was like, you're in.
Hey, kid, get in there and make a play. Oh, thank you, coach. And they end up winning the game.
Right.
With Baker. But for him to, because a lot of times guys that have maybe not been scuffed a lot, and Baker had a college career where if they were doing any scuffing, it was him doing it to somebody else. Man, he showed a lot of mental and physical toughness to get out of there and being able to piece a season together like he did a year ago. He does have some weapons now. Man, Chris Godwin, and you think about, you know, White at running back, and Mike Evans. Those three guys, pretty good. And their offensive line is a lot of young guys, but a lot of talented young guys.
Yeah, well, it'll be interesting to see, you know, if we end up with an offensive shootout here tonight in this Thursday night battle. I'm not sure what the
other end. I don't know if I'd, I don't
know.
Keeping
it on the lower end?
I think it's a 20s game.
Okay.
You know, nothing today is shootouts.
No, we haven't seen a ton of scoring, right.
And so it's really strange. We've spent all this time we're talking about the pitch and catch part of the game. And the teams that can run the football, they win. If you can run it, all I know is the Ravens. Okay, that passing attack ain't lighting the world of fire. But, man, I got Lamar Jackson, and I got Derrick Henry. And for the old pops, he
talking
can
about
get,
a 1-2 punch,
man,
right?
he can get it done at 30 years old. Not a lot of guys can do it with that type of power and speed like with Derrick Henry. I think he's just like 18 yards away from going over 10,000, and I think one more touchdown, he gets to 100.
Stepping away here at the Treasure Chest Casino on Sports Talk. When we get back, our special guest, Steve Foley, former Denver Bronco, also Jesuit and Tulane star. We'll catch up with him as he gets inducted into the Denver Broncos Ring of Honor. Stay tuned for that right here on WWL. Welcome back into Sports Talk here at the Treasure Chest Casino. We're located at the Game Bar and Grill in right next to us, the FanDuel Sportsbook. If you want to place a bet on tonight's Thursday night football action or any of this weekend's college and NFL games going on, Week 5, and maybe even a Monday night action in Kansas City, the Saints taking on the Chiefs.
I was just talking to a guy about that Monday night action. On our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line, he's going into the Denver Broncos Ring of Honor this weekend. Former Jesuit High School, Tulane University, Denver Bronco, well, he played quarterback at Jesuit and Tulane, and safety with the Denver Broncos, Steve Foley. Steve, Mike, great to hear from you, and congratulations, buddy.
Thank you, Mike and Steve. Appreciate it.
Steve, before we talk about the Ring of Honor stuff when you play with the Broncos, man, I'm old enough, I go back, and you should never have to buy a drink or any kind of, you know, dinner or supper anywhere if you had a Tulane restaurant, because you were part of the group in 73, 25-year drought. Tulane had not beaten LSU, caught them in Tulane Stadium, and were able to win that game against LSU. And what a lot of people don't remember, the year before, Steve, you guys had them there too. And, it came down to a stop late in the fourth quarter. I think it was Racine for LSU that ended up making the tackle. But you had the 1 or 2 yard line at that point. But the feeling of that point of finally getting that heavy burden off the back of Tulane, that you finally got to beat LSU.
Yeah, that game where we lost, it was actually the 1 foot line, and Frank Racine made a great tackle on our fullback. We had no timeouts. You couldn't spike the ball back then, which was interesting. And so we were out of timeouts. We had to call a play. We called a play. My back was open for a second. Flipped it to him, and his time's running out, and the whole stadium just went silent because nobody knew if he had scored or not. And they uncovered those two, and he was on the 1 foot line. And it was at that time, it was a great, our defense was great. They held LSU, who were, you know, power ranked teams at that time. They were going to the Orange Bowl, and we held them without a touchdown for 2 years in a row. And, that game, they got 3 field goals. They beat us 9-3. And the next year, we shut them out. And so, yeah, when we walked in the locker room, we knew we had the guys that could play with LSU, that we didn't have to psych ourselves up so much to try and win a Hail Mary game. We knew we had the team to play with them. And that next year, we showed it. It was just a great team win, and we had a lot of good players and a lot of guys from New Orleans, you know, on that team.
Steve, this goes back a few years with me, and I don't know why it popped in my mind last night as we were setting up this interview, but this is, I think, the last year of what they had, the recruiting bash. If you remember, it was back in February. Everybody would sign in February. Now they do it in December. It's sort of an afterthought. There's a few guys that sign in February. So I'm at the Tiger Bash. I'm one of the speakers there. And all of a sudden, Johnny Robinson, former LSU great, now in Pro Football's Hall of Fame, he sits down next to me, and we start talking, and he brings up, you know, what are you doing today and that sort of thing. And he said, hey, when I was in the World Football League, guess who I coached? Steve Foley. And so until he told me that, I didn't piece that together. He said, Mike, I had a feeling that time. Let me get into coaching. Then he said, I figured out they didn't pay too much. I had to do something else. But he said, no, Steve was in the transition from being an offensive player to a defensive player, and I coached him. And, man, Johnny was just an unbelievable safety in the 60s, early 70s with the Chiefs. And so that feeling to work under a guy who played that safety position at the highest level.
Well, I tell you what, Johnny Robinson had a huge impact on my life. Not only a tremendous impact, I looked up to him as he's one of the greatest safeties ever played the game. And here he was as my coach. But Johnny had a huge impact on me as a football player and how to think as a defensive back. And he had a lot of patience with me. And but spiritually, he had one of the biggest impacts of any person, you know, in my life. And so with Johnny Robinson, I am forever grateful. I love him as a coach and as a man. And that's where I was born again. I'm at 21 years old, just watching a guy like Johnny Robinson, who was transformed by God. And I asked God to reveal himself to me, and lo and behold, he did in miraculous ways. And I gave my life to him, and I have not looked back. And God's promises and his faithfulness has been tremendous for me in my life and my family's life. So, yeah, Johnny Robinson, I love that guy.
I asked him, I said, did you think Steve would play that well on defense? He looked at me kind of, you know, sighed. He was like, oh, yeah, I knew it real quick that he could do it. Your thoughts on being inducted into the Ring of Honor in Denver? Now, I saw an interview you did. You thought when they first contacted you, this was all about Randy Gradishar, who just got inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. So how did that work out when you got the call?
Well, it did. And so Patrick Smythe, who's, you know, been with the Broncos for a long time, and he has a lot of, you know, he's got a big role with the Broncos and with the voting on this and presenting candidates to the Ring of Fame committee. And Patrick Smythe called me and said, hey, Steve, stay by your phone because Greg Penner is going to give you a call. He wants to talk to you about a few things. And I thought, because we hadn't had a Ring of Fame in a couple of years since Peyton Manning, and I thought that Randy being inducted, we're going to throw a big shindig, and maybe it's something about, you know, what do you think? Would we take a big contingency of players to Canton, you know, or something like that? That's where my mind was at. And when Greg Penner got on the phone and we chit-chatted about the team and about Sean Payton and, you know, how lucky we are to have him and what he did at New Orleans, which, by the way, I used to follow him all the time at New Orleans. New Orleans was always my favorite team besides the Broncos. I was pulling for them every step of the way. And every time they, you know, when they went to a Super Bowl, I'm like, come on, baby, bring it to New Orleans. But Greg Penner dropped that bombshell on me, and I didn't know what to say. I was stunned. I was like,
Steve, sorry. Go ahead.
I was like, really? I was like, for real? And he said, yeah, for real. And I was like, man, that's an incredible honor. An incredible honor, Greg, and I just feel, you know, blessed and humbled and honored. And there's a lot of things in your life that you don't get to, you know, you didn't make up your genetics. You were born with them. You didn't make up whether or not you could be fast or slow. You're born with that. And you didn't get to play 11 years without getting serious injuries. You had no control over that because so many accidents happen on the field. It's a collision sport, and by the grace of God, I was allowed to do that. So I'm like just thankful and grateful.
Steve, what I think is phenomenal too, the legacy you leave behind. Obviously, the Broncos recognize that, and you last played 1986, I think it was, but you still hold the career record for most interceptions in franchise history. That's really impressive.
Steve, they're dropping a lot of interceptions, right?
I, as a quarterback, you were always handling the ball. So I used to joke with some of the corners on the team and other guys. I'm like, man, if you could catch, you'd have so many interceptions. Come on. But I was, I was blessed in that area. I could catch, and you don't get a lot of them. So you kind of, and I was always playing flag football in New Orleans, in the off seasons and stuff. So I loved, flag football in New Orleans and touch football games and playing that my whole life. So, you kind of got used to it, and I'm kind of at a loss for how did this happen to me? How did a guy growing up and going to Jesuit, and going to play at Tulane 10 blocks from my house and walking on, and Dr. Sayre and a bunch of doctors paid my first year. And he thought I'd be a good football player, and that's what he told me. And so a lot of people don't know that. They think I had a scholarship to Tulane, but I didn't. I walked on, and Dr. Sayre and a group of doctors, Klein Schmidt and orthopedic surgeons for Tulane and the Saints, and they paid my way as a freshman. Then I got a scholarship.
Man, you earned that scholarship afterwards. Steve, was there a quarterback that you saw on the schedule and you say, man, that guy, he gives me more trouble than anybody else? Was that one guy that you were geared up to say, I know that individual is going to give us a lot of issues?
Well, two of them or three of them come to mind, but really, probably if I had to say, the guy that gave me the most consternation was the Snake, Kenny the Snake Stabler. I mean, not only did he have a huge line, he had great running backs. They had 3 or 4 seconds to throw the ball, so it was murder on coverage. And they had Cliff Branch, who was world-class speed on one side, and Biletnikoff, who was just a Hall of Fame wide receiver, both of them were. And, the same with Bradshaw and having Stallworth and Swan. When you got a team that's got 2 NFL Hall of Famers, and with like the Raiders did and the Steelers did, man, it's tough sledding usually. But we were able to hold our own, but they were great quarterbacks and had great receivers.
Steve, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. First of all, man, congratulations and well-deserved honor. God bless you, brother. And it was a little overdue, but you got in. That's the important thing.
Hey, all in God's timing. It's never too late, never too early. So I'm happy right where it falls.
Your time, Steve.
Thank you so much, Steve. Appreciate it.
Thank you, guys, tremendously. Thank you.
All righty.
Man, we got the Denver Broncos Ring of Honor inductee on the air with us. That was pretty impressive, Mike.
Hey, listen to his voice. You know damn well where he grew up. He ain't lost that accent from
indeed.
New Orleans. You could tell exactly that. Maybe he's hearing us talk, so you sort of parrot it a little bit, even though I ain't from New Orleans, but whatever. Man, Steve, great player, and I remember him at Tulane those years. Man, him and Terry Looney beating LSU. Man, my dad was so upset. That they beat LSU.
Oh, that had to be so monumental.
25 years.
Right.
And then it came so close the year before, and then to beat them in old Tulane Stadium. No, Benny Ellender. Benny, he would tell some stories about that. He said it was deafening that night on the sidelines. You
awesome.
Couldn't hear.
Yeah.
So he said, man, I would talk to my assistants. I would tell them, listen, this is what we're going to do. And it was like, I can't hear you.
What we're going to do is take a break. We'll be back with more sports talk. We're here at the Treasure Chest Casino inside the Game Bar and Grill, getting ready for Thursday night football between the Bucks and Falcons. Keep it right here on WWLAMFM.com and the Odyssey app. Coming back after this. Back here on Sports Talk at the brand new and improved Treasure Chest Casino. Come check it out. We're at the Game Bar and Grill. You can stop by, say hey. Also, stick around for Thursday night football, a matchup between 2 NFC South opponents in Tampa and the Atlanta Falcons. And guys, into our triple option feature, we break down some of the top stories around sports and give our opinion. I saw this on FanDuel, one of their cards they put up on social media. After last week's performance, Jared Goff, the quarterback for the Detroit Lions, he had a receiving touchdown last week. Well, in fantasy land, you know, you look at some of the people not having a receiving touchdown yet.
I saw the list.
Okay, yeah, Goff has now more receiving touchdowns than Deebo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk, Jaylen Waddle, George Pickens, Mark Andrews, Trey McBride, Sam Laporta, and we sure hope this trend continues. Still no receiving touchdowns for Travis Kelce this year. So you can see, we talked about it a little, Mike, scoring seems way down in the NFL right now this year, and a lot of guys, a lot of teams are having troubles getting some of their big names going.
Trying to get the tight end much more involved in the offense. You know, we saw for a couple years, and I thought last year, I know, Charlie, I told him about it. It's the best tight end group I've ever seen.
Right.
Come out in one shot.
We were hoping the
Saints
got somebody.
Zilch. Nothing on that end. But it's really been down on the scoring part. And, again, it's almost old-fashioned football. Play defense and run the football. Okay, it's old-fashioned, but it wins. You know, that's bottom line. You get nothing for style points. It's all about W's. For my triple option, Younghoe Koo has 8 game-winning field goals since 2021. We saw him clip one Sunday.
Boo.
That's the most in the NFL over that time span of 2021. So it ain't his first time when he got up to kick that 58-yarder to win one. But figure, from 2021, now we early in 2024, he's had 8 game winners. Man, ice water in the veins for Younghoe Koo.
Amazing to me to think a guy obviously was started
the
with the Chargers and they cut him loose.
Yeah, he was inconsistent there. He talked about I had to settle down. My nerves was a little bit shaky. And then
helps kicking at that dome.
And, man, and hitting it in Atlanta. Money well spent by Arthur Blank, put it to you that way.
Yeah, he's definitely developed into a lethal weapon amongst kickers now in the NFL. Charlie, what you got for us on the triple option?
Guys, you mentioned it earlier, but these soft tissue injuries are just getting really aggravating. I know the good news, Kendra Miller is kind of making his return. I don't know if he's going to be playing on Monday Night Football just yet, but you know, the fact that he's back at practice is obviously a good sign. Unfortunately, you get one back in football and you drop one in basketball. And Trey Murphy, as you mentioned in the start of the hour, injuring his hamstring, a right hamstring strain. He's going to be re-examined in approximately 3 weeks via the team. It's really unfortunate, guys, because Trey Murphy is someone that still hasn't gotten this contract extension locked down with the Pelicans, and they really got to figure something out because he's a key piece of this team moving forward. But as far as, you know, how it can affect them, you know, we'll have to see the timeline, and it only says re-examined after 3 weeks, so who knows when he's going to start playing. 3 weeks from today is the day after the opener, by the way. That game against the Chicago Bulls in the Smoothie King Center is on the 23rd, so that's 20 days away. So the timeline's going to be kind of interesting to see. This is the second straight year that Trey Murphy is probably not going to be able to start the season with the Pelicans. Last year, as y'all will remember, he missed the first 19 games with a knee injury, an issue that he had in the offseason that he had surgery to fix. And then when he got back, he kind of got back into playing shape, and he was good to go by the time, you know, they were making their playoff push. So, but it's just unfortunate to see one of these talented young pieces that the Pelicans have on the wing is going to be potentially missing some time at the very start of the season.
So with a 3-week time frame to get re-examined, that's going to mean he's probably going to miss, I would say, minimum 3 to 4 games, even if it's a quick turnaround, because you got to get yourself sort of back in game shape.
Game ready, yeah.
Game ready
healthy
to
doesn't
do
mean
it.
You're game ready, right.
So hopefully it won't be the extended length of time, but man, that's Charlie used the right word, unfortunate for Trey in missing now back-to-back seasons to start off. So I wouldn't expect him to play early on.
You mentioned with Trey too, he had bulked up this year. He's up to 215.
Yeah, he
mentioned,
yeah,
and
he sure
is. You know, becoming more of a presence. He's not going to be your biggest rebounder, but at least be able to get a body down there and, you know, make some space to get that board.
Charlie and I talk about this all the time. He's the next it guy to get paid. Okay, he's it. Man, you could tell. Man, he gets in that groove shooting. Man, he is really good, and he can flat out hit him from 3-point range.
Yeah, and obviously there were tons of questions with the Pelicans and what they're going to do with their roster, even a guy like Brandon Ingram. How are all these pieces going to fit in? But as we know, we talk about it in football all the time, there are the injury factor to deal with.
Yeah, and you look at it, we got to, 7 o'clock? We ain't got enough time to talk about all the stuff with from a Brandon Ingram standpoint and how that's all going to play out. But I do think this – I think I'm intrigued about how they're going to work this small lineup in, because there are teams that you're going to have some real difficulties going sort of match up against.
Trey Murphy's going to be a key part of it.
And I agree with you, Charlie. He would have been a key part of it.
Yeah, looking at some of those matchups you mentioned, comes to mind right away. It's like, how are you going to match up against Jokic and the Denver Nuggets? They're a pretty long team.
How do you say that? Good ruck.
Good ruck, yeah. We're going to take a break here on Sports Talk. We're at the Treasure Chest Casino out in Canabra. Stop by the Game Bar and Grill here. We're at the back right next to the FanDuel Sportsbook, where you can place a bet on tonight's action or any of this weekend's games going on. Also seen on the TV, I had to double check. We got preseason hockey going on.
You got money on that, Steve?
No, but I was wondering. I was like, we can't be in the regular season of NHL already.
I told you, that's preseason. No, if we had another host, he passed, God bless him, buddy, he would bet on those preseason.
Even preseason hockey, huh? You don't care.
No, he always had a little bit of a scratch.
Some kind of juice,
yeah,
right.
A little bit of scratch.
We're going to get some more juice when we return right here on WWL, so stay tuned after the break. Back here on Sports Talk, closing out the 5 o'clock hour. I want to remind everybody, we're thrilled to be now broadcast partner with the Pelicans, and Monday, preseason action matchup against the Orlando Magic. We'll have it from you live from the Smoothie King Center. It's a high noon start Monday. The pregame coverage with the tip-off at 12:30. Catch it on 870 AM, while Newell and Scoot will continue on WWL-FM on 105.3. Coming back with more Sports Talk after this.